This is Twit.
Maris wrote an article, also coming out of South By, about a company you haven't heard of in a while, a company that made its kind of famous debut at South By some years ago, Foursquare.
10 years ago, actually.
It's exactly
almost
10.
Today, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It took the Austin by storm. It's taking Austin by something a little less than a storm this time with a new app called Hypertrending. But you got an interview with Dennis Crowley and saw something that I found bone-chilling, but we'll let you talk about all of that. So
yeah, it's I also hadn't thought about Foursquare maybe in a decade since it was Foursquare's heyday, but yeah, you could be forgiven for wondering whether Foursquare even still existed. But the Foursquare of today is this location data giant, rivaling the powers of Facebook and Google almost. Like, you may not even think that you're a Foursquare user if you've never used the app, but chances are that you are. Foursquare's technology powers the geofilters in Snapchat, Tag Suites on Twitter. It's in AccuWeather, Uber, Apple News, Airbnb, WeChat, most Samsung phones, the photo, their photo app on Samsung.
Swarm.
And essentially, yeah, Swarm, all Foursquare's native apps. And I mean, as Foursquare's website says, if it tells you where, it's probably built on Foursquare. And all of that amounts to that Foursquare has the capability to track most people with smartphones, track their locations in real time. And Hypertrending, which is a feature for Foursquare's apps that they rolled out at South by Southwest, it shows this live map of Austin that shows basically the locations of all the phones, all the people with smartphones in Austin in real time, albeit it's aggregated and anonymized a bit. So you just see like a big circle if there's a bunch of people at one coffee shop versus a small circle if there's only two or three. But it's a real time tracking service that speaks to the amount of data that Foursquare is collecting. And when I went to go meet with Crowley on Thursday, we were going to be talking about Hypertrending, but he ended up showing me this internal game kind of app that Foursquare had been developing just among its coworkers. And it essentially is kind of like Candyland, but an app. And except for the cards that you draw, you know, in Candyland, you get cards in order to like move along the little row, the rainbow row. Except for the cards in this app are based on real people's location data and where they are really going. So he had pulled up his phone when we were meeting, and he was like, okay, well, the Candyland that he had was based on New York City. And so he's like, okay, well, I need to move to the Manhattan Bar Square next. So if I go look at whoever is in like proximity to my phone based on who Foursquare has data on, I can see that there's one person who spends a lot of time at Midtown bars. So I'm going to add him to my team. And next time this person in the real world goes to a Midtown bar and Foursquare tracks him, I'll move it forward in the game, which is just insane that this company has that sort of technology.
I kind of blame myself because when Foursquare launched 10 years ago, I jumped on it. I thought this is fun. And I would fight to be mayor of Twit with my wife or mayor of our local coffee shop. And then they pivoted to Swarm, which was basically the same thing. Foursquare became an app that would tell you about places, but Swarm was where you checked in. And I used that for a while. I think Lisa still does. I think she's in a battle with one of our engineers to be mayor of the Twit Studios. But I stopped because I thought, you've got to be mayor. It was kind of silly. But I thought, well, I've stopped, so they don't know where I am anymore. I guess I was wrong. You mentioned that Crowley wasn't sure if it was cool or creepy. Dennis, it's creepy. It's creepy.
Yeah.
I'll read from your article. Downstairs in the cafeteria, there are 40 people, Crowley says. He's looking at a coffee company, a real cafe on the first floor of the building they're in. 40 people. Mm-hmm. These are people that are actually there. We don't put their names. We just put their unique advertising ID. We turn that into a fake name and a fake avatar. But it is their unique advertising ID.
So basically the same. And also you can definitely de-anonymize that if you see, okay, there's one person that only goes to these like four areas.
This is my bar buddy. I keep seeing him here. It must be 439-472-133-419.
And then,
I have one question. Then you can ask yours, Patrick. This isn't from Foursquare, this information. Where this is like I'm using a Samsung phone. Is it sending location information to Foursquare?
So this, I believe in Samsung, it is Foursquare powers the geotagging features. Like whenever you take a photo, they're how it'll like show you like a little.
Yeah, I understand that.
Phone,
it's going to, but so is it
Foursquare
also coming out?
Powers that. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So it's a two-way street.
In order to do that, yeah. Every time your phone takes a photo and tries to geotag it, it like sends out signals. Like it uses Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, GPS, a couple different things, and then runs that by Foursquare's like a whole list of locations, and then Foursquare is like, oh, he's at Twit Studios, but Foursquare also gets the data that you're at Twit Studios, you know?
That's the part that's weird, and this is, we're going to have a similar...
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
And remember, Verizon got in a little bit of heat because they were sending unique IDs from their Verizon phones. They even got fined for that. Remember how much trouble Uber got in because they had a God mode that did the same thing, but only with Uber. This is 10 times worse, and Uber, by the way, is one of the apps that sends information back to Foursquare. Apple Maps, the big privacy-focused Apple sends it back. Airbnb, WeChat.
Basically any app or thing that uses location services that isn't connected directly to Facebook or Google is probably powered by Foursquare because they have the most advanced, I guess, location technology when it comes to like, pinpointing where you are.
But that's the back end of location services for Foursquare, who just happens to be very popular and so has location data on a lot of people, in the same way that Facebook or Google, for example, has a lot of data on a lot of people. The thing that they're showing now, the hyperlocal app or mode or whatever they want to call it, is completely anonymized, right? If we want to believe them, this is just an application of all the location data they already have and that many other people also have.
This is real-time data, Patrick, not coming from the Foursquare Swarm app. This is coming from all those other apps.
I understand. So it's the location services that are used by many
different
apps and devices.
Google can do the same thing, right? Because they get that information.
Yes, Google does on the same, like, with Waze, basically.
Yeah,
that's my
point.
But
I mean, I think the difference is that most people probably don't realize that when you're using Uber or, TripAdvisor or something, or you having AccuWeather alerts turned on the back of your phone, that you're, one, consenting to give your data to these apps, but also consenting for it to be used in the future to create some hyper-trending app. Or the thing that I find the most worrying is that when I was speaking to Crowley, he was saying that hyper-trending, it's going to turn off after South by Southwest, but the reason why they're demoing it there is for developers to be like, oh, we could use it in this way or build this app off of it going forward. And so this same information that you didn't really consent to be used in this way, even though I suppose you technically did, could be used for any number of other apps.
The thing that concerns me is...
Let Patrick finish, go ahead.
Very quickly, I can't believe I'm going to defend this, but just to explain exactly what he's trying to do with this long post, he's saying we can basically build a catalog of the popular places in this city at South by Southwest. And we're doing it now, showing it. We think it's cool or creepy. He acknowledges the creepy factor. And we're turning it off because we think there is something interesting here. And we want people to start thinking about these things and to kind of, you know, think about the uses and the guidelines and all of this. So the announcement here is the use of location data that, sure, we might have not realized that they had so much of it, but we know Google has a lot of it. We know Facebook has a lot of it. It's not that different. The big new thing here is, I guess, two things. First, Foursquare also has a lot of location data like the others, and they built this application with that hyper-trending mode, which, again, is anonymized and only shows the popular places in the city. So it's a way to see which locations and stores and restaurants are popular in a way that you couldn't before. So I don't know that there's something, I don't want to say new, but I don't know that it's that different from what Facebook or Google can already do. I'm not sure why it's that creepy, if I want to play a little bit of devil's advocate.
Well, here's the case on the other side. First of all, I think that they should release that game to the public, because I think that'd be a great consciousness-raising exercise for people to see that this is real people. This is what they know. And because right now people just don't get it. The other point that I think is the bigger point is that the phone in your pocket, we all have a phone on us right now, all of us, everyone in this building and everyone in the world. And Google is tracking everywhere you go. Facebook is tracking everywhere you go. The carrier is tracking and selling that information everywhere you go. Many of the apps on your phone are doing it. Most of them sending it to Foursquare. How secure is that communications medium? The point is that it's not just somebody is tracking. Lots of people are tracking you, and we have no access or knowledge about how secure it is, how hackable it is, whether the Chinese government is tracking, is tapping into this information, whether it's being sold, whether it's not being sold. What I do know is that it's all for the purpose of commerce and advertising, and the advertising still sucks. It's not accurate in terms of...
Nobody's getting any benefit from it is what you're saying. Yeah. So it would be okay if somebody were making money on this.
Or they were showing me products I wanted to buy. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah, if I were getting some benefit.
Yeah, because that's the common defense is like, then you're able to have ads that people actually want to see, which I don't think anybody is thinking, wow, my ads are great now. I'm so happy that I'm seeing so many relevant ads.
Google could do this if they, for instance, if Niantic turned on in Pokemon Go or Ingress, turned on a map that showed you all the other players and where they are in the city. And it would be such an eye-opener. I think these companies know very, very well, and maybe Dens does, maybe that's his reason for doing this, that there would be a hue and cry. Right now, nobody but the geeks at South By and the few people who listen to the show know about it but and read your Wired piece. But that's not the mass of general population. I think if the general population, I think if Elizabeth Warren saw this, and she'd flip her lid.
Probably,
and I could give you, nightmare scenario, Patrick. So it's anonymized, right? It's just an ID. It's not. So I'm a Russian spy, and I want to keep track of an NSA agent. I just hang out in a bar until that agent that I want to keep track of because I have his picture shows up, and then I can start tracking his hyper-trending presence on Foursquare. Maybe it's not public. Maybe I have to buy the service. And I can pretty quickly triangulate, oh, that's him. Once I've got his ID, I no longer have to surveil the guy. I know where he is at every moment of every day.
That's exactly right.
I know who his girlfriend is. I know when he's at the office.
I mean, hyper-trending isn't that specific thing, but I think...
It is. If it were public, it is, because all you have to do, as you pointed out, you can de-anonymize it by figuring out who's that guy that's going to all these bars.
If you
can do it at scale with AI.
Say, something that was individual, where you had an individual, like the game that Dennis showed me, the Monopoly game.
Okay, yes, you're right. Because hyper-trending is just
like
a blob,
right?
This
it's like blocks.
Right.
Hyper-trending shows you essentially a list of stores or restaurants, places of business, and tells you how many people are there that specific moment.
So it's a lie. It's not in Dennis who says, I know this is controversial. That's why we're showing everybody. That's a lie. Because if they show them the lollipop game, and what they really know, people would freak the hell out.
Well, just like the God mode from Uber.
Exactly.
That data didn't disappear. It's just that interface was hopefully made forbidden. And no one has access to it except a few very authorized people. But the fact that hyper-trending exists or not doesn't change the fact that all of them, location data exists. Yeah.
As anonymous as you claim to make it, can be de-anonymized. I do have to point out that both Apple and Google claim they use a technique to deeply anonymize it, which is not to take the full trip but a segment of the trip, so they don't have a starting point and an ending point. They make some, I think, better efforts. And there are claims that you can supposedly mathematically prove that this stuff is anonymous.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Foursquare is making any attempt to do that at all.
Every company trusts themselves, and their message to the public is, hey, trust us. We're Google, Apple, Foursquare, et cetera, et cetera. We're AT&T. We're this company. We're that company. Trust us. We will keep your data secure. We won't be hacked. We won't share it. We won't de-anonymize it. None of that stuff is going to happen. Of course, all those things happen all the time. And it's just it's something that everybody needs to be much more aware of. And I think that, you know, we need help from all quarters. We need phones that can turn off location by default quickly more conveniently, more transparently, and a whole bunch of other things. Because right now it's just, it's getting to the point. And again, I'm kind of amazed at this conversation because this is almost exactly the conversation we're going to have about Facebook.
Yeah.
There are many, many points and we're going to do.
It's actually a good table setter for the Facebook conversation.
Exactly.
Paris, when you interviewed Dennis, what was the sense you got from him? Was he proud of this? Did he understand how upset people would be if they knew that he had this lollipop game?
He was speaking about it like it was the most normal thing in the world. And I think at one point later in our conversation, I was like, this is honestly very surprising to me. Because one, I mean, I'm a tech reporter. I follow these spaces pretty thoroughly and regularly. And it didn't seem obvious to me or my editor, even when we had walked, when we were talking about this conversation to begin with, that this sort of granular level of data was something that Foursquare had and was playing with on a regular basis. And I think he replied something to the effect of, oh yeah, this happens to us all the time. We don't realize how, I guess, not callous or how blasé we are towards things that anybody outside of our company would be like, oh my God, wow, you have this sort of information. I think he said that he often, whenever he has conversations with like his mom or sister or family members and mentions some of the things that they do, he gets shocked back into, stepped back into reality.
This is why these people should not be allowed to decide what this stuff, because they're completely immune to it.
It's why
Uber didn't realize how horrific God mode was. I mean, they're so callous about this that they should not be allowed to make decisions.
Foursquare even has a, it's like a tech ethicist panel. Like they have a group of thinkers in this space who they've hired anytime somebody says, oh, this might be a controversial subject.
Yeah, but they work for Foursquare.
This panel. And I mean,
but to what Mike was saying, how do we address this? You were saying we need an easy way to manage location services. On the iPhone, at least, I'm guessing it's the same case on Android phones. It's very easy to go in and disable location services as a whole or per application.
But the minute you open your map, it starts sending data back to Foursquare. The minute
not if you disable it
for
the application.
Because it doesn't know where you are.
Exactly. So that's the point.
So people should stop using weather apps, map apps. I mean, so many apps know your location. Stop using Yelp. Even if you only send location when the app is running, which is probably the right default setting for all of these, you're sending out enough information that it could be. I think the real issue here is there are so many signals that somebody with the desire to combine signals is going to get a very complete map. So really, the only way is just to not carry a smartphone. But are people willing to do that?
I think that the idea of consent, like consent in these cases is an illusion when it's just a binary choice when it comes to our sort of privacy settings.
Right.
Whether it's, if it's you get this feature or you get access to Facebook and the things that you need to be a person in the world, unfortunately, nowadays, or you don't if you want to not send all of your information out. And even in the cases of, okay, let's say you turn off location services for one thing and you only use it for 1 second to order your Uber, you're still sending out just more. When we think of location services, maybe we think of you're sending out one signal, but no, your phone is sending out, here are the 10 Bluetooth signals I'm picking up next to me. Here are all the Wi-Fi networks that I can read. They're using GPS, GSM, and all of that's going to Foursquare or Google or whoever, who is then going to check that against their range of locations to be like, oh, Paris is at World Trade Center. I'm going to send her Uber there.
Just to flesh out Patrick was saying, the situation with user control of location data apps is getting better. And I know on Android, it's constantly saying, hey, this this app is using your location. Is that okay? And you can just write there, choose
iOS
yes or no.
iOS does that, not right. Android. Does Android, do that?
Android does that too. Oh, okay. So they both do it. They both made improvements. But the problem is that, like you mentioned Uber, the way it really should work is at the point when you're ready to order an Uber, you should have an explicit option to turn on location for Uber, the Uber app, and say, okay, I'm going to turn this on until my car comes and then it goes off automatically or something like that. That would be the user advocacy default. But it's actually the industry advocacy default, which is that the Uber is tracking you all the time.
And you have to actively say no.
And you have to.
But in addition to that, you should be able to say, okay, if I want to share my data and location data for that one moment to Uber, I can only consent to it being used for things relating
that's
to my
key.
Uber ride.
There you go, bingo.
And that it can't be used
that's very true.
For any other services, or it can't be shared with advertisers. It can't be used to be
don't
a hyper-trending map.
Don't put the burden on the user. Put the burden on these companies not to aggregate and share this data, because that's what's wrong.
Yeah. Why is it sent to Foursquare in the first place, I guess, is a good question. So do we need legislation? That's where I'm going to lose all of you. Oh, yes. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah,
socialism.
I think so.
It's the only solution.